Hello and welcome to Radio Education. This is a podcast from the Alamosa School District, and I am your host, Adriana Chapa. I am a mother, a teacher, and your neighbor. Thank you for joining us today. With us today is Assistant Superintendent Dr. Luis Murillo. Hello, Dr. Murillo. Welcome.
Hi, Adri. I remember last time we were recording a podcast, we were talking about the cold front in Texas,
yes,
Florida,
yes.
All over the nation. Today in Alamosa, February, 65 degrees.
That's beautiful.
It's awesome. But concerning. I don't think there's any one of us is complaining, but a little concerning.
A little concerning because we do want the snow.
Something that is not concerning is that we're celebrating National School Counselor Week.
Awesome.
Across the nation, this is the week where we say thank you.
Yeah.
All of our school counselors.
How many do we have in the district?
We have 3 per school, so that's 16 total, including our alternative school. We are lucky that we value it as a system, and each one of our buildings has at least one person doing mental health, as well as some guidance in the secondary schools. In fact, I just thought about this. We have 17 because we were able to bring on another counselor for our high school. So it's a need. It's a need pre-pandemic, post-pandemic. I think we all see it. Our kids are coming to us with more needs that sometimes we are not equipped to handle. And having school counselors be part of our school teams, I think it's definitely helping us, making sure the students are ready to learn.
There you go. And you were a counselor at one time, too.
I was a counselor at one time, so it's very special to my heart. I know what counselors do. I know what I did when I was at Ortega Middle School, and I know that unless kids are okay, we can have the best programs, math teachers, English teachers, they just won't learn.
That's right. That's right. All right. Well, congratulations to all of our counselors all over the district. All right. Well, let's move into our first section. Happenings at our campuses. So what do you want to share with us today? What's happened?
Well, what happened at our campus, I guess one of our campuses, that our graduation rate improved. And it's been improving for a few years now.
Uh-huh.
Every year, the Colorado Department of Education tracks data on all districts, all schools. And one of those data points is graduation. So for us, 2 years ago, we hit a low of 76.9, and the high school, and I mean really everyone got to work,
right?
And we've made incremental changes in our data, and this year we reached 83.2 graduation rate. We came from 80.9, but our completion rate, students completing high school, improved from 83.1 to 86.9. And actually, our guest today might be able to tell us a little more about what is going on because he happens to work at the high school.
Excellent. All right. Well, you know, as one of our elementary principals says, forward is the pace, right?
Forward is the
pace. And these numbers are going up.
Yes. And of course, we were striving to, you know, get closer to that 90%.
Mm-hmm.
But as we mentioned just before, our kids come with lots of needs. And we work through the needs to get to the academics, to get them to cross that stage. But one thing that is certain is our graduating classes are getting larger. I think this year we're looking at 120. Last year we had 115, and we were at 100 just a few years ago. So we're seeing, of course, our graduation rate improve and more students are crossing that stage.
All right. Well, thanks for that information. And let's move on to our favorite section now, celebrate.
Well, our special guest today happens to work at Alamosa High School, and he's been there for a while. So he's been part of, you know, this transformation, stability, and then more transformation. He is not new to education. He's been around for a little bit, and he's been in our district and in some other districts. So we have the pleasure of having with us Mr. Drew Cleveland.
Welcome to Education Radio, Drew. So tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, sure. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it. This is my 8th year as the assistant principal at Alamosa High School. This is my 30th year in education.
Wow.
prior to becoming an administrator, I taught high school social studies for 10 years in Colorado Springs. At a very diverse high school, I really enjoyed that. And I decided to become an administrator, so I was an assistant principal for a few years in Colorado Springs before moving to the Valley. My wife's a retired educator. We do have two daughters. We adopted both from China, a few years apart. And my oldest daughter is a gymnast at the University of Pittsburgh, and this is her senior year, so she's really looking forward to getting out of school. My youngest daughter graduated from Alamosa High School this past year, and she's going to be a student at ASU soon, or here at Adams State. And, I like to... I'm a lifelong educator, a learner. I like to read. I like to get outdoors. I, you know, hack the golf ball every now and then. and I enjoy, you know, building models, airplanes and things like that, and being outdoors. And, yeah, so.
Alamos is a place to be.
Yeah, it sure is.
I don't know if you knew this, but Drew has a YouTube channel.
Do you?
Yes. And you might want to plug it in.
Okay.
Well, let me tell you what it is. I actually enjoy it. Uh-huh. It's Drew putting together his model airplanes, and he is just talking about the airplane, what he's doing, the model. And if you watch it, it's one of those videos that it'll just take your mind away and draw you into, you know, one of his many passions. So,
well, yeah. Excellent. And congratulations. And you're a pro with this kind of stuff.
Well, you know, I don't like being on camera, but that's okay.
The voiceover is wonderful, though.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because you can always edit your voiceovers and change it and go back and redo it. So,
All right. If you're interested in this, folks.
Yeah.
And I was always. Check out his YouTube channel.
What's that? Sorry.
I'm telling people, our neighbors, to check out your.
Sure.
Your YouTube.
It's just a little, you know, I have a little following, but it's a childhood hobby that I had. And. The guy I used to work with, it was a retired Air Force, and he built models. I'm like, I want to start doing that again because it was a lot of fun when I was a kid. I love history, particularly World War II history. So a lot of the things that I build are World War II related. And so it's just a nice way of getting your mind off stuff. I think everybody needs to have some sort of hobby.
Yes.
Yeah. If you can't get outdoors in the winter months, you need to, you know, hopefully you can find something to do inside, or, you know, whether it's painting or building models or knitting or something like that, where you can take your mind off things and enjoy it. So, yeah,
sure.
So that's a lot of fun.
Oh, interesting.
Well, besides building models, Drew, I'm always interested about the day-to-day of anyone, really, because... Yes, we all work in education, and yes, you know, one of the last guests we had was April Tiedemann, and one might think, well, their day-to-day might be kind of similar, but they're not. So,
right.
Tell us about your day-to-day as an assistant principal at Alamos High School.
Sure. No day is the same.
Right.
You can put meetings on your calendar and schedule meetings with people, and typically those work, but... You have things coming at you that you didn't anticipate. So yesterday I had several things came at me to deal with, whether it was student behavior or parents calling and wanting to meet, that sort of those things. So in today, same thing. I had several different things that popped up. I had some things in mind when I came to school that I wanted to do and to get accomplished, but, you know, you get sidetracked by dealing with the day-to-day things as an assistant principal. You do have to deal with student behavior, but there are good things. And I love being out in the halls with students before school, during passing periods, after school, during lunch. And we supervise. We're at it, during the breakfast hour and during the lunchtime, we're doing supervision. So talking to students. Going into classrooms, we try to accomplish that on a day-to-day basis, but there are things that just come at you out of nowhere that you don't see coming. And,
yes.
You have to stop and deal with those things.
All right. So what is the high school's vision, and what role do you play in bringing it to fruition?
Sure. We want Alamosa High School to be a place where everyone feels comfortable. They feel that they belong. And that it's a safe place for students to come and learn. I try to be visible as much as I can. I engage with students. laugh, have fun. I'm kind of a kid at heart, even though I'm an old guy. Laugh and have fun, encourage students, and try to get students involved in things. That's something we've been working on for a couple years, is the place where everyone belongs. And you don't have to be an athlete. You don't have to be, you know, and basically the bottom line is we offer things that every student can become involved in something, whether it's an academic club or if you're an athlete, great. But we have academic clubs, we have art club, we have things that can meet students' interests. But we like all students to become involved. That's our vision. We want a place where they can come and learn and be ready for the 21st century that we're in now.
Right. So, mm-hmm. And studies show that the more involved a student is, the more apt they are to do better academically, to finish school, and to be present every day, right?
Absolutely, and that's why we have, you know, art classes, we have music classes, we have theater classes, we have, you know, agriculture, we have welding, we have all these different things that we offer students that they can become involved with. And so we have FFA, we have National Honor Society, we have just different things that students can get involved with that meet their interest, and hopefully that can help keep them in school and inspire them, and
lots of social skills that
that
they learn as being part of these organizations as well.
Exactly.
Awesome.
So Drew, some years ago, you're in Colorado Springs and you're teaching social studies. What was that voice in your head that sort of drew you into what some people call the dark side, or into administration?
Lord Vader.
yep.
You know, I started teaching in the mid '90s. And it was right at the beginning of the standards movement. It also was the beginning of the professional learning communities movement.
Uh-huh.
And so at that time, you know, department chairs were basically budget, here's your budget, here's, you know, you need books, that kind of stuff. It was more administrivia stuff.
So right.
When the PLC movement started, I was still a teacher, but I was the department chair. I became the department chair. So going to trainings and then, now we really have some tasks that we need to accomplish. And we started doing some of the things we're still doing today. We're continuing just refining those. That is developing curriculum maps, defining essential skills. And so as a department chair, I enjoyed that process. I enjoyed leading that process. And I thought, well, you know, I always wanted to get a master's degree. And I was also... they call me kind of the creative teacher, so I could come up with some interesting activities and share with the teachers in our department.
Right.
So I thought, well, I'm interested in curriculum too. So UCCS has a master's degree program in curriculum instruction. You add on a few courses for a principal's licensure. Mm-hmm. So I really, at the time, I didn't decide to be an administrator. I just thought, let me get my master's in curriculum instruction, see where that goes. And I enjoyed that process of leading the department, and I got to do some staff training with the staff, and I thought, well, I think I have a lot to offer to staff. I enjoy working with kids, especially at-risk kids, so I felt that I would have those things I could offer teachers and knowledge of curriculum and activities and how kids learn, that sort of thing. So I thought as an administrator, I could kind of share some of that and also help kids, you know, see kids who are struggling, that there is hope, that education means hope. You can open doors for you.
Absolutely.
And so I felt I can, in a leadership position, I can have a little bit more impact on that.
All right. Mm-hmm. So what is the biggest change you've seen at Alamosa High School over the years?
Wow. There are a couple. If I can indulge me for a minute, I think the expansion of our concurrent enrollment programs, and there's a question coming up, and I'll get on that.
Okay.
But expansion of that and what we're offering students, and I'll touch on that in a minute, but I think the biggest thing I've seen over my 8 years is the collegiality, the collaboration, and just the camaraderie of our staff.
Oh,
it
good.
Is, we have a wonderful staff, and it is a great place to be. And the staff work together. They get along. They're many of our staff graduated from Alamos High School. Uh-huh. And it's just it's a nice place to come to work if you're a teacher. So yeah, I think just the staff harmony is something that has really gelled over those years.
Excellent. Mm-hmm. Super important.
Yeah,
super
absolutely.
Important. Mm-hmm. All right, now I'm going to throw another question in here. So didn't you all implement something for incoming freshmen this year?
Yes.
You want to talk about that
sure.
a little bit?
We call it the Freshman Academy. Uh-huh. And this was really, you know, spearheaded and put in place by our teachers. And again, that's a testament to our teacher leadership. Last year, we needed to do something for freshmen. Freshmen, for years, they've been the biggest age group that has really struggled in high school. So
right.
we looked at some models, and we decided to do a Freshman Academy where basically freshmen would be in cohorts. And we learned from the pandemic that when we had kids in cohorts, they stayed together as a group, and they seem to do well. They seem
okay.
to, they kind of, it's kind of like the middle school teaming concept where kids will stay together and they have common teachers, a certain group of students. At the high school, because we have advanced classes and GT classes, those sort of things, it's a little bit different. It can be a little bit more difficult. So well, we decided that we would cohort freshmen into several groups, and they would have the majority of their core classes together. So like one group of freshmen would have this English teacher, then they would go to this science teacher or this social studies teacher. We did that as best we could.
Uh-huh.
Now, there are some students that are taking advanced classes. They would just go on to those classes, but
right.
they might come back together. And we also have what's called the Freshman Academy class, where several teachers are teaching that group of freshmen. They developed a curriculum. It's based on, they wrote it last uh-huh. year and put it in place this year. All we did as administrators is make the schedule happen. And we let the teachers run with it, and they develop a curriculum, everything around, you know, life skills, study skills, how to talk to your teachers, how to advocate for yourself.
Excellent.
So it's, and we've seen our grades really improve this year with our freshmen. And so it's
awesome.
It's been a success, and that's again it's a testament to our staff who put this in place. And again, it's just the leadership of our staff is amazing.
Awesome. And you know, it's always tough for kids moving from one campus to another.
Yes.
And you know, now the school is bigger. There's more things to take into consideration. So I'm glad that steps have been taken for those kids.
Yes, it has been
excellent.
A great impact.
All right, Drew, you're a parent of two, and you've been an educator for 30 years now. So what advice do you have for parents who are wanting to help their children be successful? Kind of a broad question, right? All parents want that of their kids, but
right.
what are your thoughts?
You know, again, it starts when they're young, and my advice to new parents is expose your kids to as much things that you can.
Right.
Take them to museums if you can. Take them to the library, you know, involve them in reading and expose them to art, literature, things like that. You know, go to a musical. But, you know, I know we're kind of limited in what we have available in the Valley, but we got ASU. You can go to the theater. You can go to other places if you want to take a weekend and go to Springs and mm-hmm. visit a museum or go to the zoo in Pueblo or something. Expose them to a lot of different things in education and support them in school. And, you know, talk to them about what's going on in school every day. What'd you learn today? You know,
and nothing. That's what they're going to say.
Well,
so you got to work around.
I don't believe you. That's what he says. I don't believe you. No, tell me really how you're doing. So
right.
be involved in their education.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean you have to go to every single meeting, every single conference, everything that's happening at school. But be involved in their education. Expose them to different stuff, different things. Help them find their interest and help them grow that interest. And we all want our students to do well and be successful.
Absolutely.
So our kids, and you know, if they're in the older grades and they're you know, again, be involved in their education. Encourage them to be involved in activities. Good attendance is extremely important at high school level. We struggle with that, but check in on their attendance and make sure just you don't have to be a helicopter parent, but just be aware of what's going on with your your child at school and encourage them and let them know there are other things. You don't necessarily have to go to college, but there are things that you can do. Instead of going to college, you can learn a trade. You can learn things that could, impact your life in a positive manner. So that's my advice to parents.
Excellent. Excellent advice. What brings you joy about your job?
The biggest thing, I think, is when I go into classrooms and I see, teachers engaging students. And students are working. They're engaged in the activity. I pay attention to the students, and I watch them in the hallways. I interact with them in the hallways. Most of the students are happy. They're having fun. But I think that brings me the most joy is just watching the students learn. Really, particularly if I have a student who's really, really been struggling, and all of a sudden they get it, they aha, and they start doing a lot better, which that brings me a lot of joy too. So
sure. Mm-hmm. All right.
Well, and what keeps you up at night?
Oh boy, I have a soft spot for students who struggle, who are at risk, and I worry about them. I worry about students who come from a lot of trauma, and we know how that impacts their education and their outlook, and so I do worry about those students, and I wonder what it is we can do to try to reach them, and what resources do we have. To help reach them, to try to get them interested in something. So that's what keeps me up, is thinking about the students that I really care about, and how can I impact them? How can I help them see that, hey, this is not your entire life, basically. That's what worries me.
Yeah, and I've said before, we're educators, we don't just leave at quitting time and we're done with the kids. We take those worries with us, and worry about individual kids, how we're going to handle, whatever they're going through.
This might be a follow-up question, but if you had a magic wand and could magically change one thing about our education system immediately, what would it be?
Okay. I think one thing in particular is the way schools are funded. I'm not a finance expert, and I quite honestly sometimes just don't quite understand it, all the formulas. But I think where we've gone wrong is primarily funding schools through property taxes. Because you do see a big disparity in rural areas that might be, lower income compared to schools that are in more areas that have higher property tax levies. They have, so you do hear the nightmares of schools that are in rural areas that are falling apart and things like that. Those are real. And they don't have the money for them. And so so I think there's something that needs to be done about that. I think relying on property taxes. And I'm not a finance expert, so I don't really exactly know how it all works, but I know probably, maybe half of the funding for schools comes from local property taxes. I think that's kind of unfair and unequal.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
You bring up a great point. That's also one of my, my sensitive points, because you see the inequities of what kids get to do. That's what it's all about.
Exactly.
And I always think, why not us? Why not our kids get the chance to do this this aviation program that Academy 20 has? And that really, when it becomes very real, the why not us?
Exactly.
Yeah. So I have admired all that the high school does to help students after high school. So you've got different training programs, you've got concurrent enrollment plans. So talk to us a little bit about what's available, because I find it exciting, the opportunities that our students have.
Exactly. you can graduate Alamosa High School with your associate's degree in college, from college. And we're fortunate in Alamosa where we have a local university and a junior college. And so you can literally earn basically half your bachelor's degree.
Right.
And have it all paid for. And so when you get your diploma from Alamosa High School. So we offer a variety of concurrent enrollment classes where you can earn credit through Adams State or TSJC. I had to bring my little cheat sheet because we have so many of them just to remind me, everything from English. We have a English 101 and English 102, for example. It's an Adams State class, but it's taught by one of our teachers who's been trained to teach that.
Uh-huh.
So students can take that on our campus and earn Adams State credit. We have a nursing program where students can earn their CNA through our nursing classes that we offer.
Wow.
At school. We got a hospital bed, and freaked me out one day because I walked in that room one day. I was looking for something, and I saw this dummy in a bed. I'm like, oh, what? the medical stuff,
right,
medical
right,
dummy.
Right.
Student, we have an intro to music class where it's taught by our music teacher, and you can earn. It's a college level class. You earn credit
wow.
for it.
Wow, like a music theory class.
Yeah, basically history of music.
Interesting.
It is very interesting. And some of our AP classes are awarded. Students are given college credit for those AP classes. We have some math classes. We have college algebra, trigonometry that you can earn college credit through TSC. Our audio visual classes. Visual design, computer design, audio visual. We have students who they put out a new student news where it's uh-huh. they go around and film and stuff. That's part of their classes. So they can earn college credit through those classes if they're interested in audio visual and media.
Uh-huh.
We have some business classes. We have accounting. Those classes as well if they're interested in the business area. So they can take those classes at Alamosa High School and get college credit. We have a teacher from TSJC that comes over and teaches psychology and sociology, each one in different semesters. So kids can take that and earn college credit. In addition to college credit, we have some kids can work toward industry certificates in welding, auto mechanics that we offer at school. I mean, auto mechanics is at the middle school. But the kids go over there, they're bused over there.
Right.
So they can start working on their industry certificates in those areas. So we have a wide variety of options for students to either work on an industry certificate or get ahead up on their college career and get going. And so we have some students who they're at Adams State University all day. They take all college mm-hmm. classes. And so that is open to students, and we pay for their tuition. And so you can go to college while you're in high school.
Excellent. All right.
Something to keep in mind is this is a high school of 585 students that mm-hmm. offers all of that. So there is something for all students.
I think it's excellent that kids can start doing this in high school. And actually, I have to tell you a success story. I had a young man, and he was taking summer school English, middle school level. And he was not a happy camper to be there. And it was, it was tough getting stuff out of him. But I saw him a few months later. He was now in high school. And he bounded in to say hi. And he was excited. And so spent a few minutes chatting with him. And he says, yeah, I'm in the auto mechanics class. And, Ms. Choppa, everybody in my family is a mechanic, and I'm just excited to be there. And it was such a difference.
Yeah.
And I am just so pleased that these kids can then go into what they want to do.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah, and it is awesome we offer that. I mentioned I started teaching in the mid-90s, and I when the standardized test movement started, which that was another thing I'd wave my wand and fix, I saw at my school, we had a thriving auto shop and a racing program where kids built race cars and raced other high schools.
Wow.
We had a carpentry program. Those were all cut so we can focus on and adding more reading and math teachers. I'm not saying that's wrong, but it was all because of state testing. We got to do a little test. And so I'm glad that we're still offering these things, and I'd like to see it continue to grow.
Yeah. Excellent.
All right, Drew, maybe a tough question here. It seems that more and more we hear about students' access to vapes. There is a perception, or it could be a reality, that more students are vaping. What is Alamosa High School doing to address this?
Okay. Well, I do think that, you know, students are vaping. We're trying to curtail that. We haven't actually had an issue of vaping in a while. But I think that the promotion and from those companies that produce these things, they're targeting kids.
Yep.
And so we have a couple things that I do. Whenever, let's say, a student gets caught vaping in the locker room or wherever, I have a little program that I have the students do on the computer. It's through the Colorado Department of Health, and it's called Second Chance Tobacco. I think all the students, all the schools use it. It's basically an education program that students go through. It takes a couple hours, and it tries to educate students on how the media is bombarding them with vaping and you know how these things are cool. It's kind of like the old days where, you know, Joe Camel the cigarette camel was
right.
targeting kids mm-hmm. and stuff. So and so we do that. We try to be restorative with students because Colorado won a major settlement from Juul. Is that right?
Yep. That's right. Yeah.
Dr. Murillo and the district administrators were able to get some of that money because the state put it out to schools to apply for some grant money. We did bring on another counselor who counsels students because vaping is addictive. It's a nicotine product.
Yes,
it's more nicotine in it than cigarettes. We don't know. I mean, science is just now trying to get a handle on what
right.
the effects are. And so we do have a counselor that's working with students who are you know, vaping. And but it is. I don't want to say it's necessarily a huge problem, but students are getting attracted to this. And we try to educate the students. We try to be restorative before we go move to a consequence phase
mm-hmm.
Because it is, you're not supposed to have it on school property. It is
right.
considered a cigarette by the state law. And we try to counsel with the students and try to help them see how to get them off this product, get them off these products. So, yeah.
Okay.
So
all right.
The message is we are aware. It
yep.
is a reality.
Yeah.
And we're addressing
it. We're taking
it.
Steps, yeah.
We're taking steps, and we continue to try different things
mm-hmm.
At the end of the day, like Drew said, help students.
All right.
Yeah.
Drew, thank you so much for joining us today on Education Radio. It has been interesting to learn everything the high school is doing and to get to know you.
Well, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
We're going to move on to our last segment, upcoming events. So what's going on this week?
Well, we have parent-teacher conferences coming up.
Yep.
Elementary conferences are done.
All right.
But on the 17th and the 25th are secondary school parent-teacher conferences. So as always, we encourage all parents to make it to at least mm-hmm. one of the nights, or send an email, or just like we were talking earlier, make sure you're staying on top of where your kid is at regarding their education.
All right. You know, parents, we're 1 month away from the end of the fourth quarter, and there is still time to catch up and raise those grades. OMS has Friday school on February 7th. Students can attend to catch up on missing work and get caught up, or just get extra help if that's what they need. We have a team of good teachers who are available to help students. And Friday school is available from 8 to 12. Breakfast and lunch are available to these students. Thank you for being with us today. Education Radio is a podcast by the Alamosa School District. Podcasts are available in both English and Spanish and are a click away on our school website. Parents, remember that educating your child is key to their future and a life of options. Until next time.
Alamosa School District. Students today, leaders tomorrow.